Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We're New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We are an interactive Bible study. We come together every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we just have a good time just sharing the Word of God. men and women of God from all over different locations. We just come together just to lift up the name of Jesus. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, if you choose to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, when you hit number one, you will be connected. We'll make your mic hot, and so you can interact with the other brothers and sisters. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and we're going to go into our topic. We're going to do a little bit something different this evening. And the topic this evening is what becomes of a broken heart. Amen. And we're going to dive into that and just more so just kind of center the word of God around that. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the men and women that have tuned in by internet as well as via phone. We ask, Heavenly Father, that your word, Heavenly Father, will be a blessing to their ears. We pray that you would anoint this ministry. We pray that you would anoint this Bible study this evening, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, we pray that we would all be on one accord as we lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We pray for the sick and afflicted, all those, Heavenly Father, who are going through trying times. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give them spirit of peace, Heavenly Father, in their trials. Father, we ask that you would just guide us and that you would direct us as we move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're going to come in from Matthew, and we're going to read Matthew, and then we're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to open up the mics, and we're just going to just praise the Lord. Amen. We pray that this will be a blessing to you.
Amen, amen. This evening, we are going to be reading from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And this is the scriptures that we used this weekend, this week with my Bible study with our ladies' church group, the church that we attend. I attend their Bible study and sometimes get to lead it on that day. And it was interesting that the Lord had put the same topic on my husband's heart when he said, what's the topic going to be for the evening? So it's only fitting that we do something a little bit different. And these scriptures that we're about to read, they're coming from a section. Matthew 25 is about parables. There's the parables of the talents. There's the parable of the 10 virgins. And so Jesus is talking to the disciples and trying to tell them, get them to understand what it's going to be like when the kingdom comes, when his kingdom comes, what it's going to be like on in the kingdom. And so he's giving them these word pictures to get an understanding of who's going to be there or who's going to be invited. So please follow along with me. Again, it's Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. I'm reading from the New International Version. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. As I said, this scripture comes from a longer passage about the kingdom of God. And here Jesus was teaching his disciples about when the kingdom would come and who would be invited. He ends this parable using the sheep and the goat. And this comes from the Serendipity Bible. The Serendipity Bible is a great study Bible. So let me ask you this. What little prize do you have from your past that is very special to you but has kept you from giving, and because of its specialness, it kept you from giving it away? Better yet, from the parable, how are people divided between sheep and goats? Well, clearly, with this parable, the sheep are those that follow, those that are tenderhearted and loving and gentle and that are following Christ. So as we prepare for the kingdom, if you're a sheep during this time of great judgment, the saints, those who have lived a life, a Christ-like life, those who have committed their life to Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, will be accepted as a sheep and be taken into eternal life. But let's go into what gives them that category. What made them, how is Jesus separating them? And he's separating them by the way they treated others,
mm-hmm.
by their compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Did they look at someone who was sick, maybe feel sorry for them and keep moving?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have compassion for that person, compassion enough where you can take that compassion and put it into action? Because we very often look at compassion as an emotion and a feeling and not look at compassion as an action word, as a verb. When you're compassionate, you do something. You do something. You put that feeling into action. You look at the situation. You look at the person, the character. And you say, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't enough that the sheep, to be separated by sheep and goats, that the sheep felt a certain way, or maybe they believed a certain way, but what is about their treatment of others, their action, and how they cared for others. Were they compassionate?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be surprised, though. We know Jesus. The great commandment is to love one another. And in his love, all through the Testament, that's what it's about. It's about loving one another. So do we show love to our brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and also when we look at this, you know, the parable also describes, you know, consequences. There's, you know, two attitudes to Christ's return. The person who diligently prepares for it by investing in his or her time or talent to serve God will be rewarded. And the person who has no heart for the work of the kingdom will be punished by God. The bearing of fruit, the bearing of fruit. Now, when the Lord had laid this on my heart in terms of the topic, what becomes of the brokenhearted? Amen. What becomes of the brokenhearted? And I really would like for you to hear something, and this is one of my favorite artists, and I really like you to hear what happens in a worldly manner when God is not a part of whatever you are going through, whatever circumstances that you may be dealing with. If God is not a part of it, it becomes much harder to bear. Amen? So if you could just take a minute and listen to this. Do you have it? Do you have it potted up? This is what becomes of a broken heart.
The land of broken dreams, I have visions of many things, but happiness is just an illusion, filled with flaws and confusion. What becomes of a broken heart?
I'm sure many of you are familiar with that tune, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. You know, as I looked at the wording for the song, it was almost as though there was he was looking for someone besides our earthly relationship to release him from that burden or whatever he was going through. My wife is here, is shaking my head, you know, shaking her head toward that. But as I looked at it and I just looked over the words in terms of, you know, happiness, looking for happiness, you know, the fruits of love grow all around me. You know, when I look at the fruits of love, I'm thinking about, you know, those who are happy, those who are not going through any trial or tribulation at that time. And then, you know, searching for light, cold and alone, searching for light. And we all know what light is. When we look at light, we're looking at our Lord and Savior in terms of light. So, you know, when we're looking at that song, just relating it to the burdens, whatever we may be going through, we do not have to go through that alone. Amen. In John, he talks about peace. He speaks about the peace that we are supposed to have as men and women of God. And if we, in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And when he's speaking that, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that is leaving, that is going to leave a deep and lasting peace with each and every one of us that know the Lord. Amen? Not as the world sees it. When the world looks at peace, when the world looks at that, it is a conflict. It's a conflict that the world looks at, such as war. There's peace in war. But when God looks at that, God is talking about an inner peace that we have within ourselves, and that is that Holy Spirit. Amen? So whatever you may be going through, if you are going through something that may be a broken heart from a loss of a loved one, if it is someone who has hurt you deeply and you're having a giving them, if it is someone who has broken your heart in some kind of way, may it be family, extended, or whatever, God has a way of mending broken hearts. Amen? God has a way of mending broken hearts. He wants us to live in peace. Amen? He wants us to live in peace. We're going to open up, if there's any comments out there that would like to comment, please do just make a comment. Your mics have been potted up, so if you would like to make a comment, please do. We have 631-240, either one of those numbers. Amen? Okay, we're going to take it that you are, you know, you're just listening in. Amen. Again, we talk about Mark, we talk about Matthew, and then we, you know, we look at John speaking about the peace and the world, the absence, the peace that we're supposed to have. If you have a broken heart, if you have a broken heart, or anything that you may be going through, God can mend that broken heart. Amen? God does not want us, and the world puts us in a mindset that when we are going through a conflict, when we're going through a conflict, then that's when uncertainty steps in, doubt steps in, and those are all the numerous forces that are at war within us. Amen? Those are the numerous forces of war that are within us that is trying to prevent us from having that peace that God wants us to have. Amen? The peace of God moves in our lives and it restrains those hostile forces that are within us that comfort us and prevents us Amen. For those of you that would like to comment, please, if you want to comment, just your mics are fired up. I'm hearing a sound in the background, and I don't know what that is, but, you know, we can hear it. It's coming in loud on this end. Amen. Any comments on that end?
Well, I'd like to say something. You know, God bless you, ministers.
God bless you too, woman of God.
Like, this scripture is saying, you know, it's talking about us as Christians, and it does come down to like what Christ is saying. It comes down to a heart thing. It comes down to what we give to another person. Like Dr. Suzanne said that we as the scripture said, we as Christians, you know, because that's what this is about, telling his disciples, you know, do this, that, and the other. When you see that individual, you whatever you do it unto me. So God is saying to us, it comes down to a heart thing, not just doing it superficially, because God judges our heart, but do it in the intent of how the Lord is doing for us. We're to do for someone else.
Amen. You know? Amen.
We're responsible for one another.
Yes, absolutely.
Take care of one another, and it's not about us. It's about
And it's not just in the body of Christ. It's whoever
we
come in contact with. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. It goes beyond the body of Christ.
Right.
Like the song was saying, imagine when you walk past a homeless man, somebody on the street, you know, you don't know their story. Everyone has a story.
Yeah.
And it's not important how they got there, how they got that way.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is that you reach out to them and that you feed them or clothe them or that somebody tries to meet their need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can minister to them after that. You have to meet their needs first.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, you know, sick and shut-in people,
children,
the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us. Those that are able-bodied, have means. It's not always about money either and material things.
Right.
But those of us that are able-bodied, they can go sit with someone and take someone to the store or share what you have. Those of us that have the means that can give or, you know, and provide for someone, that's what it's about. We're supposed to be taking care of one another.
Okay.
In the body of Christ especially, no one should have to go out and beg. If we're tithing and we're taking care of the children, the orphans, and the widows, no one should be in need.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And just
Amen.
Like
there
you said,
so
the homeless one on the street, we have to strip down where we're not prejudging. Because that's what
that's
we,
right.
like you
that's
said,
right.
Sister Suzanne, everybody has a story, and you never know how that individual got there. You know, so we have to stop and take the scales off our eyes and stop prejudging what we see. And God wants us to look beyond what we see, because he looks beyond our faults and sees
Amen.
Our needs. And he blesses
Amen.
Us.
Amen. I'd like to comment. I agree.
Amen.
But I believe that it begins with us, Sister Dr. Suzanne. I believe, and this is just my belief, adversity is not an indicator of abandonment. So that song kind of makes me laugh, because I believe that what becomes of the broken heart depends on our perspective. Are we seeing it from God's perspective, or are we seeing it from our fleshly perspective, clouded by pain? And he was talking about that God wants us to have peace, and he shows us, Paul in Philippians 4:6-7, gives us the key to that. People talk about by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. They talk about this peace that transcends all understanding, but they forget that the prerequisite to that is by prayer and petition with thanksgiving.
Yes,
and
that's
I
good.
Think yeah. that that is key. Mm-hmm. I think
that's
that
good.
Is key for us to keep in mind. See, it begins with us before we can begin to go out and minister to other people. We personally have to understand and we have to be grateful. I'm not saying that, you know, you say, oh, thank you, God, for this pain, but being able to see it from his perspective and seeing it as a tool in his hand, that we give him gratitude. We show him gratitude for what he is doing in our lives and how he is molding us, and we show gratefulness. And that's where our peace comes, with thanksgiving, when we pray and we petition and we ask for all that he has in store for us. When we do that with a sense of gratitude and expectancy,
yeah.
we then begin to see it from God's perspective, and we understand that adversity is not abandonment, that it is a tool, a molding tool, how he is recreating us into the image of Christ. And so I just think that we ought to keep that in mind as well. That's how we get the peace, through thanking
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Very good.
Amen. And this,
mm-hmm.
there are so many in our surroundings on a daily basis, you know, with a broken heart, you know, who are many people are smiling around us, but you never know what a person is going through. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to speak life into those that come
mm-hmm.
into our presence. We speak life, we speak encouragement, we build them up, not tear them down. And I truly believe that the Lord sends many who are heavy laden and downtrodden our way, so that we can give them a word of encouragement, so that we can speak life into their spirit. And keep in mind, they're always watching. They're always watching us, how
mm-hmm.
we react to certain adversities. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
But we have to remember that wherever you are, like, every it's an opportunity to minister. Sometimes people think that it's only on the missions field or on
mm-hmm.
Sunday at church I can, you know, smile and, you know, do all the Christianese talk and the Christianese walk. But you mm-hmm. have to, you know, wherever the Lord plants you, on your job, at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
at the beauty shop, in the, you know what I mean, wherever you are, even driving. I you see people driving, and some of them have the bumper stickers, you know, honk if you love Jesus, but the way they're behaving in the car is contrary to that. So we have to remember that we're always ministering in mm-hmm. our everyday activities, and there's always an opportunity. You just don't know when you can bless someone.
Mm-hmm.
That you just don't know the encouraging word that you could give to someone. Today, I got my nails done, and there was the lady who did my nails was talking about a young girl who was 10 years old, and
mm-hmm.
she got the idea. She was polishing, I guess, polishing her nails, that she would go to the hospitals and she wanted to polish other little girls' nails who were sitting
wow.
in the hospital.
Wow.
And the nail technician told me about it because one of my granddaughters, she likes doing nails. But
mm.
that's a ministry because
yeah.
she's going to the hospital
Amen.
And she's sitting down with her peers and she's ministering to them as she polishes their nails. There's the visit, the fellowship, and she's an example of Christ. She's an
mm-hmm.
example of what Christian love is, that
mm-hmm.
it's not a major sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice of love, you know, that she would do
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just people that want to do something. In fact, I challenge anyone who's listening to go beyond the, what do they say, the
comforts of your
pass it on. What is the thing that they say?
Yep.
To
play it forward. Play it forward.
Or
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what they, and it'll come
it's
to me really, probably
yeah.
tomorrow. But
pay it forward.
But
forward.
Where you
mm-hmm.
pass it forward, right.
Mm-hmm.
To do something for somebody else without being acknowledged for it.
Sure.
Can
right.
you buy someone else a cup of coffee? If you
right.
have, you see the homeless man, like downtown Cleveland where we are, a lot of times in major cities, they shield these people to the side. You find them, may not see them on the major streets during the day, during the business day, but at night you do. Those people are hungry. Mm-hmm. What about the kids that are living on the street? Well, you have middle school age and high school age children living mm-hmm. on the street, fending for themselves, living under bridges. Couldn't they use a warm coat one day? You know what I mean? Donating clothing, donating food, mm-hmm. giving somebody a bag of McDonald's. I shouldn't have said the name brand, but sandwiches or whatever, and just pass them out to the kids, to the children that are hungry, to the people that are laying on the street. Nobody grows up and says, "I can't wait to be on my own so I can sleep on a grate in downtown Cleveland." Mm-hmm. Nobody looks at their child and says, "Oh, you're going to grow up and go to prison." No one mm-hmm. does that. Everybody has hope. Every baby that was conceived and held in their arms, I truly believe, that has, came with someone that loved them and someone who had hope for them. But for some odd reason, their hearts have been broken. They've been disenchanted. And it's for us as Christians, as believers, as people of compassion, to reach out to those that are in need, no matter what the need is, wherever the burden is on your heart, that you exercise it and not just look at it as a feeling. I feel mm-hmm. bad for that person. Go on and feel bad for them. Express your emotion for them, but do something. Amen. What can you mm-hmm. do? Amen. If the Lord has put that burden, put a burden on your heart for a certain group of people or with a certain ministry, what are you going to do with the burden?
Amen.
That's a challenge, to do something. And that's what Jesus wants us to do.
Amen.
That's good. That provokes us. Yes, that's good.
Amen.
That's good.
And sometimes
Hello?
We do get
Hello?
I'm sorry. There's someone. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I just got into hearing the conversation about doing for others. But what I see is a great need within the church, that people are in need in the church and that their needs are not being met. I would, when people get down and sick and they're not helping them and they can't get help from the church, it seems like sometimes the church don't provide for those within. Sometimes they reach out and forget about those within, like the sick and the city. And I have heard people say the people within the church didn't come to visit them. The people in the church didn't try to meet your needs. I know last year when I had cancer, my grandson goes to this church. He's not a member of it, but they came and asked me, did I need food for them to deliver food? Well, I really didn't, because my daughter was helping me out as far as fixing my food, and I was still eating some of that. But I was impressed because I didn't get it from my own church.
Wow.
I got it.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And I mean, it made me feel good, but then at the same time, I was
wondering,
why did my church call to find out, did I need anything? They knew the condition, not that I needed anything, because God provided people, he provided everything that I needed. So I was blessed. But think about those people that had told me this. I could see how they really felt, because you're expecting only to do before someone outside your church would offer to do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so true. That happens a lot.
And you know what, though? Sometimes, like we were saying, when we've experienced things like that, like incidents like that, and it meant something to us, maybe you're supposed to feel that need at church, too. Or bring it up to someone, or head it, get a group together that could be a part of that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
oftentimes we rely on the pastor, and really it's us, the body of Christ, is supposed to take care of the body of Christ. And
right.
So we can't lay everything up on our pastor and just wait mm-hmm. on him to do or to initiate that. But we need to bring it up and you know, ask your leadership if you could head it up, or see if there's someone else mm-hmm. in leadership who's interested in it, or express mm-hmm. that there's need, is that kind of need. Where we used to live in the same neighborhood where we worship, now people are, you know, that's not common anymore. People come from all over, you know, drive miles to get to and from church. So we don't have the close-knit communities and families like we used to have, where everyone was involved in everyone else's life and helping to raise your children like in the old days. So
yes.
We have to do more, both of leadership, all of us within the body of Christ, leadership, congregation, everyone needs mm-hmm. to do more as far as assessing the needs of the church, the folks in the church, and the community that the church sits in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and making sure that we address those needs, that there's a place for those people to come where they can call. Because at one time, the first place you called was the church. Now people call, you know, in our area, 211 for social services. You get a social worker involved. But, you know, as a Christian, the first thing I want if I'm in trouble is I want the body of Christ there. I want prayer. I want to be surrounded by saints, you know. Every time that we've been in the situation, that's who I want around me before I call family, you know, because I want somebody praying. I want to know that somebody is praying and somebody's going to lift us up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing I can say that during the time I was, going through my illness, I did call people, those that I knew were sick, I would call them. I would email, I got on my email, sent out inspirational notification, you know. I did all of that, but, you know, I see that it is a need. I did talk to a couple of people, which they felt the same way, that it should be something established within the body to make sure those that are sick, you don't know what kind of needs they have, but to try to get in touch with them to find. Because some people have a lot of pride, and they don't want to expose that they don't have this or they don't have that. You see what I mean? It's that pride thing, and sometimes the devil will try to hinder them from reaching out to get help within the body of Christ. But I think if we continue to be holy and continue to do the things that are pleasing to God, like it said, cleanse my heart and give me and renew a right spirit within me. And our spirit will guide us to do the right things at the time that people are in need.
Mm-hmm. And just like Sister Suzanne said about what you went through, that experience, and you reaching out, and what you did, reaching out to someone else, that's good. It doesn't allow the enemy to come in and get in your heart and resentment, you know, festers, you know, because the enemy's so slick. Any loophole he can just get into, that's a chance for him to separate us.
Oh, yes,
and cause us to look at our church family cross-eyed,
mm-hmm.
like,
right.
Oh, you didn't do enough, or you didn't come by and see me. But
right.
Just
well,
like you said,
I know that bitterness was getting rid
of
within my heart. And I had to pray. I got into the Word, and I said, Lord, I do not want to be bitter because some of the people that I expected, I didn't even hear from. And I was hurt because I was always
sure.
Mm-hmm. And so I was hurt, and I felt as though if I keep thinking about those people that didn't, those of all that did, then I won't become bitter. So that's why I gave the song. That's why I said, Lord, if my heart is trying to get hard, Father God, cleanse it. You have to talk to the Lord, because the devil sure will stop for you if you're not talking to the Lord.
Right.
He will whisper in your ear and try to tell you things that people need to hear.
Because I'm pretty sure we've all been there one way or another, you know, where mm-hmm. we felt abandoned, you know. But I thank God that you did that, sis, because I've been in that place myself, and I had to do that too. Because you know what? That blocks out not only our blessing, but the relationship with us and the Father going out even to help others. It taints it. You know what I'm saying? It taints it, so we have to rise above. And one more thing about my mother used to always say this to us when we were growing up. She always used to say, charity begins at home. And it spreads abroad, you know. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do for, and I was just reading that in the Bible just the other day. You do for the household of faith, and also unto others.
You know? Amen.
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 Yeah, thank you. You know, my sister. You know, and I'm just reflecting on back what was said before. If that has happened to you, then maybe you should raise that mantle and go out and or establish a ministry within your church so that others do not feel or have to go through what you went through. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God is just, you know, he wants you to step in that, into that gap. See, and oftentimes, you know, within the church, there are so many, sometimes, you know, we do fall short. We're not perfect. But again, you know, the body, we come together as the body. And oftentimes it's looked at as the head who is making the error, but we should be working all together on one accord just to make sure that if there are any gaps, that we close those gaps, amen, and do not allow the enemy to come in, because when confusion comes in, you know, that's when the church begins to start to go through a separation. You know, a separation. So maybe God is using you for that purpose.
I have ministry that I'm head of, and I do work hard at that, which I don't want to put too much more because I want to focus on doing what I'm doing.
Amen.
And I'm to do another ministry with a few people. So I can't touch that, but I did address it to a couple of people in leadership. Whether they will do something about it, that's up to them. But God has already placed me in a couple of places to do ministry, and I don't want to overload myself.
I'm still trying
to get my hands together.
But you know what? Share your experience, because even sharing your experience could be a learning opportunity for someone, even in that ministry. The more you share, the more you share it, the more they'll know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's wonderful what you're doing. But what I like about this whole scripture and the topic of this subject, it provokes us. It provokes us to not only have thought about it, but like Sister Suzanne said, you know, we have to have movement of that being a verb, a action. You know, we have to move instead of saying, oh, yeah. You know, good intentions are always wonderful, but what comes after the good intentions?
Mm-hmm.
We have to have movement. You know,
yeah.
Thought of good intentions. Oh, I wish I could have done, but you could.
Yeah. But, but there's some things you have to pray and make sure God wants you, because he might not want you in that area, but he has you in that area. So I've learned, just like even sometimes people asking me for something, and I have given something to people and found out that they really didn't need it. Sometimes
right.
I have to pray when people want something from you, because sometimes you'll fall into a trap.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
That's why I said I'm learning to pray before making a lot of
always.
Steps. I need to take the step and then pray. You know how you want to be in charge. But God has showed me a lot, and he has opened up doors for me that he showed me that I needed to be a little bit more holy, a little bit have more faith, because that's where I found, you know, during my sickness that I needed more faith, faith and trusting in Him and not looking at the situation.
But thank God, look at you now. Praise God. This is the other side of through. You went through, and this is the other side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't get people's names because I got on, I think, when he started talking about helping those in need, not being judgmental or whatever. So that's when. So I don't know your name. The lady that's speaking.
Who's that? Oh, Sister Suzanne?
Who is the speaker for today?
Sister Suzanne, she's talking to you.
You didn't hear too much. We were just being led by the Spirit.
Oh, okay, okay.
Amen.
Well, my name is Sister Washington.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Washington, or Minister Washington. Praise the Lord. I thought that was your voice. But, you know, there are many out there, there are many out there, you know, that are, you know, as you said, you know, you was hurt or you was brokenhearted. There are many out there that are in need. We being the body of Christ, we being as Christians, we are to love one another. But also reminding them, for those that know the Lord, of who they are. Amen? Again, right back to what I was saying before, God wants us to have peace. Amen? The Holy Spirit that's within us gives us that peace. We're not supposed to go through what the world goes through. We are not supposed to go through that. God has allowed the Holy Spirit within us to guide and direct us and to give us peace, not confusion, but to give us peace. Amen? And as long as we are aligned, whatever we do is aligned with God, it's always going to turn out right. Amen?
Yeah, I believe that too, because I see sometimes confusion within the church as far as one wants to do it this way, and I'm trying to, and the other ones do it another way, and they don't come to agreement, and then it's like madness within, they have anger within.
And nothing gets done.
Each other. And nothing gets done in that. It might get done, but it's not in a loving way. You know, they do it because they have to do it, but there's no love in it to really glorify the Lord in the way it should be. He should be glorified. I hear the bitterness between people working together, and I'm trying to figure, if we're so loving, if we're so righteous, and we're so holy, and we're striving, not that we're perfect, but we're striving towards perfection. And he said, how will the world know that you're my disciple? It's the love that we have for one another. And if we don't love one another and show that we love one another, then those that's coming in might not stay, because they don't see us getting along. They don't see us loving each other like we talk it. You know, you can't talk it. You have to walk it too. Talk it and walk it, you know. You can't be hearers without being doers.
Amen.
So we have to pray for one another daily to be in one unified accord, you know.
Pray for one another and pray for ourselves. Go back to the altar. Get down on our knees and say, Lord, cleanse me. Fill me again with your precious Holy Spirit. So I won't be in error. It's so much, but God is good.
Yeah, he's good. We have to examine ourselves, go before the Lord and ask him to reveal to us those things that do not please him. And so the Holy, and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to be better Christians.
Right.
And if we don't go before the Lord and say, reveal to me those things, it's a lot of things we might be doing wrong that we don't know. But we think we're doing it right. And if God reveals those things to us, then we ask him to help us to be better Christians and to cleanse our hearts and renew our minds and help us to walk in righteousness. And when we submit to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we're not submitting to the Holy Spirit, we submit to ourselves, but not in our own nature, but not to the Spirit. And that's what we need to do more.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Is there any more comments? 440-240, any comments? Any comments? Any comments? We are interactive Bible study. Any comments? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to close out. We're looking at maybe 2 minutes, and we don't want the broadcast just to close. But we do thank each and every one of you for tuning in, for being a part of this interactive Bible study, coming together to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray that you were blessed by whatever was said through this podcast, and we pray that you would join us every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, just within an hour, and we just come together again, whatever you're going through, whatever you're having, no matter where you are. For those of you that's listening, you can call in, and if you need prayer, whatever the case is, that's why we are an interactive Bible study. Amen. We have men and women of God from all across the world. I mean, in different cities, different states, you know, that are tuning in, listening in, so that we can heal whatever you're going through. Amen. Through prayer, whatever counseling, whatever the case may be, and we pray that this podcast is being used just for that. Amen. We're going to close out with prayer, and then we're going to do our music bed, and we hope to see you for next Wednesday at the same time.
Make sure you visit us on our Facebook page. Please visit our Facebook page.
Amen. 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 Minister Herman, would you mind praying with us?
Yes. Father God, as we come to your throne of grace, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this broadcast, Lord, and your word, being able to share your word. We give you praise and glory for all that you're doing in the lives of your people, dear God. We thank you right now that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit. We thank you today that we can come into not only agreement, but come into a place where we love like you love. We show love. We walk love. We talk love. We thank you and give you praise. Bless all those that are sick and shut in right now. In the name of Jesus, lift their spirits, lift their hearts, dear God. Go where they are and change the very atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.
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 To God be the glory.
Remember, we love you. God love you.
faith.